Are y'all excited? No school for a week coming up? Good. I actually haven't heard y'all be so excited about something in a long time when he said spring break. So y'all have to be excited. Well, I am excited to share tonight about something, I would say, pretty passionate about and want to grow in myself. So I'm excited to share. It makes me think of me and Chris have been having a spiritual discussion group over in Smith Hall, and this guy Javier, who says he's an atheist, kind of more like an agnostic, lots of conversations. I had a 3-hour conversation with him. Chris had a 5-hour conversation last night about God and talking about, you know, what's the difference between Christianity and other religions, and we talked about a bunch of different things. I told him what the difference is. I know God's real because I talk to him every day. Not that I hear an audible voice of God coming down and, you know, shaking my room, but I get to spend time with God every day and be relational with him. And that's what makes the difference for me, is that I can know God. And that's where he's at. Javier's like, I believe there might be a God, but I don't think we can know him. I said, I know I can know him because I get to every day. I don't know a lot about him. I'm scratching the surface. But that's what I want to talk about a little bit, is how can we relate to God today, every day, relationally. And when I talk about how I relate to God and he speaks to me, it's through his word. So I'm excited about talking about that, because I think it's something that we have that makes all the difference from everything else out there, is that we can know God, talk with him, relate with him. So before we get started, I want to pray real quick. Father, I just thank you for this evening and the opportunity just to speak of your name. I pray that you be honored, Lord. I pray I'd be led by you and that your words would be spoken and not my own. Lord, I pray that you would move in the hearts of me and the students, Lord. And I'd be able to hear, Lord, that you would stir in us, help us to evaluate where we're at. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't feel condemned if we feel like, man, we need to grow more, Lord, that we'd be more spurred on to pursue you more, and not that anything we'd say tonight would discourage us, but encourage us, Lord. And we just worship in your name and invite you into this time, Lord. Amen. So, what I want to talk about is relating to God, primarily through his word. I know we pray, a lot of us. Maybe some people pray more than others. Some just pray on the way to a test. Or when they lay in bed at night. Sometimes when I can't fall asleep, I just start praying and it works. So not that's the only time I pray, but sometimes I'm having a hard time praying. I'm going to start praying for the nations, and next thing you know, I'm falling asleep. But it helps. But try it. But how do we actually hear from God, even? You know, there might be a listening prayer out there, and God might speak to your heart. But how does God relate to us? And do we even know that he is a God that wants to relate to us? Well, before that, I want to talk about three different scenarios. And these are relational scenarios just to think about. So everybody's going to have to close your eyes. You don't need to write anything down. We're just going to think. I'm going to talk about these scenarios, and I'm going to keep on moving. So go ahead and close your eyes. First scenario. Imagine a wife waiting for her husband. It's morning. It's breakfast time. Breakfast is, she was very gracious. She made breakfast. She's waiting for her husband. He comes down, and he says, hey, I love you. Thanks for breakfast. Sits down, picks up the newspaper, starts reading the newspaper. She goes to talk to him, and he kind of just blows her off, keeps on reading the newspaper, not really paying attention. He eats his food, gets up. He's at the door. And he says, hey, I know things have been busy lately. I'm not going to be able to make it home tonight for dinner. You understand things are busy. I'll be out late. Oh, by the way, can you take the dry cleaning and list a couple other things of could you do these for me? And that's pretty much what happens all the time, actually. There's not much difference between that day and most days. He stays pretty busy. And you might say, if you evaluate his relationship, you would think, he probably thinks he's pretty important. He doesn't think much of his wife, obviously. She's cooking breakfast. She's loving him, doing things that she doesn't have to do for him, taking stuff, dry cleaners, whatever, taking time out of her day. And he's not really giving her the time of day. But he's like, oh, I love you. There's a little lip service. Hey, I care about you. But he's not really listening. Scenario one. Scenario two, similar. Wife waiting for husband. He comes down and says, hey, I love you. Sits down at breakfast. But this time he says, hey, you know, how are things going? And she's like, well, if you really want to know, it's same as usual. We've talked about this a lot of times, but you say you want to spend more time with me, but you're not doing anything. You're off at work, off with the guys. Not really. You say every day, oh, I'm trying to spend time with you, but you never do. Nothing changes. You say you love me when we're out with our friends. You know, we look very loving to everybody, but the truth is, when we're home, you don't give me time. You don't engage my heart. You don't talk to me. You're very, very busy. But you keep on saying, hey, I love you. Hey, I want to change. And all I feel like you're doing is giving me lip service. And that's how it is most days. It's the truth. She's not bickering or holding anything against him, really. It's the truth. He might say, hey, I love you. How are you doing? But he never really changes. Third scenario. This is a good one. Husband comes down, kisses his wife, good morning, and they just start talking about the day, what they're going to do that day. We talk about what they're going to be doing that day, and he's just sharing life. He enjoys breakfast. He's very thankful. He says, all right, honey, I'm going to go to work. I'll call you throughout the day to check up, see how things are going. So throughout the day, they call each other, check up. They're very loving, just to see how each other's doing throughout the day. And the relationship's like this a lot. They're very committed to each other. They love each other. They have hard times, but they're always relating. They're always working through issues. There's times when it's low and it's kind of hard to relate very well, but they're choosing to love one another and be patient and love, and they're sticking through it, and they're changing together. They both know that it takes time, and they're growing together. You go ahead and open your eyes. Hopefully no one fell asleep. But we have three scenarios. What scenario do you think you would want to be a part of? Anybody? I know what Nick, three. I think Sean wants one. He just wants to eat breakfast and read the newspaper. He's joking. I'd hope most of us would want three. The sad thing is some of our parents might be like some of those other scenarios. You know, checked out, I'm not really relating, and that's hard, and that's society. My parents might do that sometimes even. But relationally, we all can look at it and say, you know what, I don't want to be part of number one, number two. I don't want, if I was in the girl situation, I wouldn't want that at all. I wouldn't want to relate. I wouldn't want to know my wife. Hopefully, we'll be good one day. but you want to relate. You want to be known. You want to change through the tough and the hard times. But scenario one and two are about people. The guy was too busy. It was about him. The second guy was he's like, hey, yeah, I want to change, but he never would change. There never was change. And there was a lot of lip service. Yeah, I love you. Everybody on the outside is looking and evaluating the relationship and saying, hey, things look good. But when it came down to the home situation, when it really mattered, there was nothing. There was nothing. There was no life. Third situation, good situation, has its ups and downs, but they're committed and they're loving and they're relating to each other through the tough times and growing and intimacy and love for one another. My question to you, if we take that and think about how we relate to God, what scenario would we be? Do we give God the time of day throughout the day? Or do we, oh, God, sorry, I don't have time this morning. I'm on the way out. Oh, by the way, I've got a test today. Can you help me out? Oh, God, I need help on this. Can you take care of this, and I don't even stop to listen. Because, hey, it's about me, and I'm kind of busy. Now, hey, I've been guilty of that. I'm not going to lie. And sometimes do that. But God's waiting. He's relational. Or even two. Hey, I love God. You could be up here. We can be worshiping, lifting our hands. I show up to Bible study. But do I even know God? Do I relate to Him? Is there change in my life? Or am I busy with my daily activities? And I give God a little bit of time. I give Him a lip service. Everybody else thinks it's going well. But is there actual relationship daily? Throughout the day? Or is it like scenario number three where, hey, there's tough times with God. Sometimes he feels distant. That's for our own growth because he loves us and he knows us and we love him, we're committed, we give him time. Throughout the day we're checking in. Maybe in the morning we start off, we spend some relational time reading the Bible, and throughout the day we're just slowing down, God, and just praying, not even asking, but just to pray, to be close, to relate. Now that's what I would want. The truth is that doesn't happen a lot. There's days it's like, man, I started off, maybe I got 30 minutes with God in the morning, and it's like 10 o'clock at night. I was like, God, I didn't ever slow down to even think about what I read or even relate to you. My bad. I'm sorry. Not that he is not mad at me, but I miss out on something he wants. How do I know God's relational? Well, I'm going to breeze through this kind of quick because I have a lot of verses and I want to spend bulk of my time later on practical things. So I'm going to go kind of quick. But John 1:1. And if you want to turn there, you can, but I'll read it real quick. And I'm going to brush through a couple other verses. But John 1:1. This is how we know God's relational. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Skip on. We skip on down. I won't get all the way down in that. The Word is talking about it's Jesus. Was God. It's Jesus is God. In the beginning. So in the very beginning was the Word, which is Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, spoke it. Communication. He's relational. He's trying to communicate to us. Genesis 3, and Jim spoke about this last week, so you don't have to turn here. Genesis 3, 8 and 9. Right after the fall of man with sin, God immediately is walking in the garden, calling out for man. Why? Was that the first time it ever happened? No. Because Adam and Eve were hiding. They expected God to show up. They heard him. They hid. It wasn't like, oh, God's coming for the first time ever. You know, it was something that happened. There was relationship from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Before Adam and Eve showed up, the Word was there. God was a communicator. In himself, he's the Trinity. He's relationship. So he longs for relationship. And even when in our sin, he's longing for relationship. We see with Adam and Eve. He speaks throughout the Old Testament again and again. He speaks, shows up to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the line keeps on going on. He shows up in big ways. Moses, he speaks to Moses as a friend, as his face, face to face. Moses gets to ask, hey God, can I see your glory? And God says, well, can't give you the full glory because you will die. So I'll give you the backside of my glory, is what he says. And so he kind of passes over, shows him some glory. Moses doesn't die. But it's because he's relational. Moses was able to ask because he had a relationship with God. He's like, God, I know you. Man, I want to know you. Can I see your glory? That's crazy. That's crazy talk right there. So he's talking to Moses. Jeremiah, Isaiah, the prophets. He's speaking. Throughout those books of the Bible, it says, the Lord says, the Lord says, the Lord says. He's speaking communication to his people. And he says, I want to know you. To the Israelites, why are you so far from me? Why have you strayed from my ways? I've given you my word to know me. He gives them a temple for his presence to show up in because he wants to dwell amongst his people. So he's relational to the point where he sins and he becomes on earth himself, a person, saying, I want to relate. I know you're far from me because of sin, but I'm going to come up, I'm going to show up because I love you so much. For God so loved the world, he gave his son because of relationship. He wants to be in relationship with each of us. To the point, even in Acts, and I love this verse, Acts 17:26, and you don't have to turn out, I'll just read it real quick, 26 and 27, and it's halfway through 26, it's talking about God, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. He is so in the business of wanting you to know him for our own good and for him, for his glory, you see, that he says, I'm going to put you in the exact places that you need to be because I'm not far from you. The exact time and places you will need to be so that you can find me. So you're here Kalem Hall for a purpose tonight, so that God would speak. And you, many of us know Him daily, but He wants to know us more. I wanted to really evaluate that. How am I relating to God? So He wants to know you. He even put you on the FSU campus for a purpose, that you might be around people. I mean, we've talked about it before, but Doug, he's not here tonight, but Doug, he came to Christ probably 3 weeks into school. Me and Chris prayed this last year, that God would put people on Chris's floor that would be hungry for God, that weren't believers, that would come to know God, that they would be on Chris's floor, close, so we could talk to them about God, that He wouldn't be far from them. Doug comes to Christ, because we prayed this verse, exact place. Doug moved, not by his own choice. He was supposed to be in, I think, Davini or Dorman. I don't remember which one. 3 weeks before he moves here, he gets a letter in the mail from housing saying, "We've moved you." Doug did not ask to be moved. He did not ask. I've never heard of that. I've been here 8 years. Never heard of someone getting moved without asking 3 weeks before they come here. He didn't know. He knew his roommate over in Dorman, in the sense of he'd met, I guess, talked to him on the phone, didn't know who he was going to move with here. Random. I believe we prayed that in. We prayed a miracle right there. Because He's not far from any of us. No matter how far away we might feel, He's not far away from any of us. He wants to relate. And I'm convinced that He wants to relate to us primarily through His Word. Now, like I said, many of us just pray and we're like, yeah, talk to God. But do we relate to Him? Hebrews 1:1-2. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe." So it said God spoke in the past to our forefathers, Moses, Abraham, all these men of faith that we learn about every day. Through the prophets, in many times. So He spoke to the prophets a lot, various ways, visions, dreams. He's about speaking to His people. But in these last days, which we're a part of, this was spoken 2,000 years ago, we're still in the last days, a lot of them have passed. He says He's spoken through His Son, which we know is the Word. So do we know, my question is, do we know Him? How do we relate to Him? How can we relate to Him daily? Is it something we think about? Do we evaluate, or do we just go on our busy day? Are we like in scenario one or scenario number two? I'm busy. God will understand. Well, I mean, He loves us no matter what. That is true. But the answer is we're missing out on a lot of things if we're not relating to God, if we're not taking the time for checking Facebook 5 times and not spending time with God. I do that sometimes. I'm like, oh, just check Facebook one more time. I could go and pray for 10, 15 minutes, read the Word, pray the Word to God. Relate to Him. He's waiting. He's not far. And He longs for it. He wants it. There's 5 primary ways. And a lot of y'all have seen this. I've got a little handout here that would get passed out. But we have 5 primary ways we can relate to God through the Bible. And so a lot of y'all have seen this illustration before. But let's just, we're gonna go through it and experience it. If y'all pass this out quick. But this is pretty all encompassing, I think. I mean, there's maybe this is pretty much the gist of how can we take hold of the Bible, because many of us might think it's boring, or how do I even relate to God? I've read it before. I don't really know how to talk to God or hear from God. If you want to turn to, not yet. I'm just going to read this, sorry. I'm going to read a verse. And we are, this is the main verse we're going to relate to God tonight through. See what He has for us. So just listen in. Second, or I can tell you where it is yet. So just listen. Don't go looking for this. Some of y'all know this verse. But this is God. It says, but he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I think it's a very good verse. I enjoy it a lot. It's been a lot to my life. But before we get to that verse and talking about it, the first, you see this little illustration, it's a hand, how to take hold of the Bible, how to relate to God through the Bible. The first one I want to talk about is what we're doing right now. Most of y'all are doing that. You're hearing the Bible. And one of the verses, the verse on that, is it Romans, Romans 10:17. And that verse says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. So our faith comes from hearing. From hearing the word spoken. And I think it's the broadest way we can all hear the word or experience God through the word is to hear it. To go to church, hear someone talk about it, speak on it. Primarily where most of us grew up through it, or even when we came to Christ, someone was probably telling us about the Bible. And that's how faith comes, by hearing. Who went to church this past Sunday? Raise your hand. Not to make anybody feel guilty. All right. Sean, what did y'all speak on this past Sunday? Do you remember? No. That's okay. That's very normal. So you don't remember. Anybody remember what the topic was this past Sunday? Money. Actually, I know what it was about. It was about the building project or something like that, wasn't it? It's okay. So yeah, who remembers? Raise your hand if you remember the topic from 2 weeks ago. How many? Money still? Money still? Okay, four folks, y'all have the money. 3 weeks ago, was it still money? Man, no, it wasn't. Luke says it wasn't. Maybe it was. So, as we go out, and can you even tell me if it was about money? Well, can you tell me the best verse you used? Anybody? What? Now I'm getting serious, yeah. And that was what? That was what? Sunday was what? That's not even, that was 4 days ago? 5 days ago? Okay, 4 days out, we heard somebody speak on something, money, we know the money. They've been talking about joy at ours, and it's joy the past 3 weeks. I can say the same answer, joy, joy, joy. It's 3 weeks out. Do I remember the best verse? I remember a couple of things. Why? Because I only heard. I only heard the word. All right, so someone tell me something about the verse I read. That I said a minute ago. What was it about? God's power is made perfect in weakness. Anything? Anything? Anybody? Take a stab. It's okay. There's what? Joe? You haven't memorized. If you haven't memorized, don't try it. Okay, you're out. Anybody that does not have anybody? God's power is made perfect in weakness. What's that? Speak up. I will boast all more gladly about my weaknesses. Yeah. We heard that, 2 minutes ago? We hear it, 2 minutes pass, and we've forgotten it already. Some of us can maybe remember more because I've heard the verse before. I've memorized it. Maybe I can give you a little bit more information about it. But all I did was hear it. So if I go to church, 3 days pass, it was a great sermon, but all I did was hear it, didn't do anything else with it, how good is my grip on the word and relating to God, Sean? But just my pinky. If Sean is the enemy coming to steal the word from me, I don't have a very good grip on what the Bible at all of relating to God. Even the message, man, it was on money. That was a good message. Don't remember it. Two minutes past the verse I talked about, you've forgotten it. Oh, that's okay. I mean, that's what I expected. That very normal. And most of what we do is just hear. Maybe, Jim spoke last week, and I remember you talked about a little about what's our concept of God and the love of God. And, 2 weeks out, I'm probably going to start forgetting even more if all I did was hear. And that's all I relate to, God. I'm going to forget a lot about God. I know little stories about, I remember David and Goliath. But if all I do is hear, that's not much of a relationship. That's not much knowledge. I don't know God very well. It can be taken from me very easily. So we can't just stop at hearing. There's got to be more. The second one is, we can read. So, open up. Oh, actually, no, don't open up your Bible. Do not open it. Do you have that verse up, Luke? Okay. Yeah, the verse. All right. Read this real quick. Read it one time. Can you read it? If you cannot, okay. Oh, you cannot see my head. And this is not the full verse either. It's not the full verse. That's okay. All right. I'm going to go ahead and turn to your Bibles real quick. So that's not the full verse, I don't think. I want you to read it only one time. Do not cheat. Please, 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 please. Read it one time. It's all right. It's all right, Luke. Read it yourself one time and don't go back. If you don't understand it, that's okay. Read it one more time. Oh, and Luke, take it off the screen so they don't cheat. I'll put it right there. Okay. All right, now you know where it is. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Hopefully you've all read it once. So don't look down, don't cheat. But who read something in the Bible this morning a verse that was spoke out to them today? Anybody want to share? Elizabeth, Elaine. Oh, you did it. You got something? Romans 6:12. What was it about? It's okay. The pressure makes it harder. I know. Go ahead. What was it about?
Not letting sin reign over like your mortal body.
Yeah. That's good. That's a great verse. I love that. We've been studying that. So it talks about don't give the parts of your body over to sin so that it reigns over you. Who can remember without looking at their notes what they read yesterday morning? Anybody? Can take a stab. Mary, we can take a stab. What did you read yesterday? You did a pretty good job there to remember all that. Who remembers what they read last Wednesday? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's my honest answer. I was in the book of Romans. That's all I know. So, why do I say that? It's reading. We read it. We remember a little bit more. They both remembered a little bit from this morning. Even yesterday, she didn't have to look at notes. Wow. It wasn't like hearing the word and her forgetting, you know, because it spoke to her. She read it. Now, someone tell me something. Don't look at the verse. Don't look down at it. Tell me something else about 2 Corinthians 12:9. Now that you've read it, that you can remember. My grace is sufficient for you. But then he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Awesome. Anything else that you can remember that you didn't remember before? Anybody? My power is made perfect in weakness. Yeah. So you remember it a little bit more. As we read it, as we interact with the word, we begin to remember more. Not just hearing it, because we heard it, 2 minutes later we forgot it. So we read it, I let a couple minutes pass, and we remember a little bit more, don't we? So we take hold of it a little bit, we get to relate to God more, we get to know Him a little bit more. 2 days later we can maybe even know about it. Psalm 66, don't share sin in my heart. And we could experience God more and He relates to us more. But is that enough? I mean, last week I can't remember what I talked about, what went on. So if I only have 2 fingers, hearing and reading, Sean, it wasn't very hard. Still wasn't very hard. My grasp on the word, it's getting a little bit better. But there still can be more. If a week out I still can't remember how, you know, in relating to God and reading. What did I read last week? Romans. Okay, so I'm almost a little bit better than what, when I heard. I can remember a little bit more as I read. The third way, and y'all do this all the time, and I show you always with the Bible, you study. Something you have to do right now for school. You study because you need to go on and be a nurse. You need to go on and be a criminology person. I don't know. You study because you need to know something. You need to grasp it. It's going to be part of your life. And I love this passage, Acts 17:11. And I think it's amazing that they, in the Bible, they actually make reference of this. That, you know, Paul goes throughout many cities and he's preaching, and that of everything that happens, they make mention of this in the Bible. And he's preaching at the city. And he says, in 11, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great earnest eagerness, and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So here, Paul's going from town to town. There's a church in Thessalonica. We know that because he wrote a letter to them later on. But he says these Bereans are something different than it. They were more noble. Why? It wasn't because, hey, they had more money, they were better off. They were more noble because they studied. They were eager to hear the message. It says, the exact word, it says they examined the scriptures daily. The Thessalonians, you look back, they just kind of chased them off. They're like, hey, Paul, this is a crazy message. The Jews chased them out. Well, the Bereans were probably Jews. And they're like, this word about God, well, we're going to go see if this is true. Now, me and Luke had to experience something like this past semester, last year, in the fall. Jehovah's Witnesses came knocking, and we're like, well, we're not going to, I think we sent them away the first time. I don't remember at first, and then we chased them down because it was like, what the heck? We're full-time Christian workers, and we're not going to even try to talk to the Jehovah's Witnesses about the truth. And so we brought them in, and probably for a month and a half, they start coming over and talking to us and telling us the Trinity doesn't exist and yada, yada, a bunch of other baloney. But me and Luke would listen to them and we're like, well, that's a good point. We need to figure out why we believe what we believe, you know? And so we begin to study, and we would go online and like, what do other people say about this? And we get in the Word, and we'd the Trinity became more alive to me than ever, probably, in the sense of understanding it, because I had to begin to study it and look for it and try to understand it. Now, I hadn't really done that before. I wasn't tested, but I heard people talk about it. Dave talks about the Trinity all the time, but I couldn't just go off of what Dave. I had to study to know for myself, because someone was challenging what I believed. So what I want to do, what you to do real quick, is I want you to read around that verse. Start in 2 Corinthians. This is a little quick exercise. And the person next to you or the person around you, maybe two or three, read 12:1 to the end of, or not the, just 12:10 through 12:10. Read it real quick. Make some observations and study it. Why is this verse important? What is it really saying? And what's the significance of it? So do that real quick. I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 minutes. You don't need like an exhaustive study, but just a couple things. sake of time, I'm gonna cut us a little bit short there. But what are some other observations after you read around the verse, what it's about in context? What are some things that come out that you didn't know before that this verse is talking about? Sister. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Great. Yeah. That's a great observation. Other observations after reading. Life's hard and things aren't easy because God wants to work in us and for us to actually turn to Him and say, I need you. Paul talks, right? If we read 12:1 and all that, he's talking about these visions and these things that he's seen, and for him to be humbled in a way that he wouldn't be like, hey, look at me. He said, a thorn was given in my flesh, a weakness that God didn't take away. To say, hey, look, you have to look to me. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul then, he's like, God gave me the word, therefore I'm going to boast all the more gladly. Now, we wouldn't have known that if I just read the verse. Hey, and I didn't even put it in context, and I just said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and I blew past it. And all you did was hear it one time. Oh, yeah, God's grace is sufficient for us. And that's all I talked about. Well, you read it and you got a little bit more. Oh, His grace is sufficient. I can boast about my weaknesses. And then you read it a little bit more and it talks about sometimes God allows me to struggle for the purpose of His power to work in me and to see my reliance on Him. So as I grow in relating to God and understanding Him more through, I mean, hearings of the basic, we start there. As we grow, we can read it maybe on a daily basis to get something out of it to relate to Him. Then we begin to study it and get even more to know what's going on around the verse. Why does that verse say what it does? What's it, you know, how can it apply to my life? I get a little bit more grip on it. All right, Sean. Just try it, babe. Take it. Okay, got a little hard there. Got a little harder. It wasn't as easy as it was when I had my little pinky and my little, I guess that's my ring finger. So it's a little bit harder. Fourth one. This is where it's getting, people might be like, that's a little weird. That's only like the super spiritual. But something we like to call memorize. What? Memorize? I only do that for like 5 minutes before the test so I can, you know, memorize for the day and get it over with. This is probably transformed my life the most because I to take the word with me and then talk to someone about Christ when I don't have the Bible and actually give them verses is, I think, is amazing. Psalm 119, 9 and 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure but by living according to your word? I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So that whole hiding the word in my heart is the idea of taking it in and having it in my heart as something I can take out at any moment and use. Now, I think we're just running out of time. We're going late, so I'm not going to have you memorize, but I want to challenge you to memorize this verse and let it sink in that, you know what, your power is made perfect in my weakness, God. So when you're having a tough day and you feel like, God, I can't, and I really am having a hard time relating to my roommate right now and loving them, God says, guess what? My grace is sufficient for you. You're right, you can't love them enough. You can't do it on your own. This verse would come back and speak to you because He wants to relate to you. He wants you to know Him. And if we walk around daily with verses, and a situation comes up, He starts to speak to you because you have something in your heart. I can't tell you how many times I'm praying about something. I feel like a verse comes to my heart and it speaks to exactly what I'm praying about. I'm like, you're right, God. I believe You just spoke to me because He uses His Bible to speak. And if I get it in my life, not just reading it, studying it, but actually memorizing it, sounds crazy, I know. But if I begin to memorize it, I have it at my hand at any time. When I have a struggle, when I need to pray for someone and talking to somebody, it's like, I think the Bible says something about blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure, maybe. But if you're like, you know what, in the Bible it says, right here, don't you have to turn to it, it says this. That's powerful. And I'll tell you what, most likely that person would be like, you know what, that's awesome. God just spoke to me through you. Because he's a relational God and he wants to. And I can't tell you how many times I've given a shared scripture and it's been exactly what it's needed to be told. And it's not me. It's the Word in me speaking. And the Word is Christ. And he's relational and he's speaking. So if you want to know him daily as you walk on campus, you can't, you know, you can walk around with your Bible open reading. Probably not going to work out, but you can just walk and you can have the Word in your heart for every situation. Relating to God, he's speaking, revealing himself to you. This last one, and if you know, I'll have Sean try again. It's getting even harder. Go, Sean. He's trying really hard. I'm gonna have to get somebody else now. But should only let him use one hand. but it's the workout. There you go. He's been working out a lot, doing push-ups. But it's harder for the Word to get out of my life. It's if I were to memorize the favorite verse from last Sunday's sermon, I guarantee you when someone says, well, what was last sermon about? Well, it was about joy. And let me tell you what the best verse was. Bam, 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 bam. Someone would be like, what? That isn't, you know, that would be crazy talk. But that's how God is. He's relational. He wants to be with us daily. He doesn't want to be like scenario 1 and 2 where it's like, hey, God, I'm busy. I don't got time. I don't have time to give 2 minutes to memorize a scripture. That's really all it takes a day to review a verse or something like that or memorize. Maybe 2 to 5 minutes. You don't have 2 to 5 minutes? I struggle with it. I struggle with it daily. It's like, God, help me to slow down and just pull out the little verse pack. I don't know if you've ever seen those things. Crazy little navigators carry them around to memorize scripture. To be like, all right, well, I've got a little free time on the bus. What's my latest verse? Psalm 103, all right, and review it. That would be my life. That would speak to me. It's crazy talk, but it works. And he'll speak to you and he relates to you because he's a real God. And when you talk to your unbelieving friend, he's like, isn't Christianity the same? You're like, well, yeah, it's about, I don't know. You can know God. My friend says, you can't. I said, I can because I know him every day. Lastly is meditate. Now, I'm not talking about a Eastern religion meditation, clear your mind and hum and reach nothingness. But the idea of meditate is, and this grosses people out every time you talk about it, but it's the same idea. The word comes from the word that they give to what a cow is because of the way it chews and digests food. A cow has four stomachs? Four stomachs. For the purpose of, it eats all its food in the morning, it chews up grass, it just goes out, it goes to the dork, chews it up, swallows it in the first stomach. And then it goes, sits in the shade the rest of the day, spits it up, chews on it again, swallows the second stomach. Y'all love this, I know. But that's why you see a cow always just chewing. And the idea is it's turning over and getting every ounce of substance out of it. Everything. So it's processing in its stomach, spinning up, chewing everything. That's disgusting, I know. But the same idea is for the Word. That, you know, I read Psalm 66 in the morning. And I could walk throughout the day and just say, what was my favorite verse again? I might not have it memorized. Sometimes you can have the verse memorized and you can meditate on it. You just studied it. You know, I've studied some of the stuff that Elaine's talking about. Just have meditated on that. I've read stuff in the morning and meditated. Just thought about it all day long as I walk. Thought about sermon about joy. I've been thinking a lot about that. And just thinking, like, God, what? Okay, I want to apply that to my life. And it's been coming up. Spiritual regurgitation. I've been chewing on it. What was that? That was good. Yeah. And as I chew and get more out of it, I relate to God more and he speaks to me more. And I get more and more out of it. Now, if we had a lot more time, we would even we'd practice that right now. But the idea of meditation is, like I said, isn't a humana, humana, humana in the corner with the lights out in a quiet room. It's you can walk on campus and meditate. As you walk, you just think. And you start to it's like examining. If you take Nikki's diamond, she got a diamond on her ring, or on her ring, on her finger. As somebody asked her, I had some lucky guy asked her. We can look, and it's got different facets, and you have to look at it from different ways. All the time, she does it. She got caught today in Bible study. Jay's like, "You have something, Nikki?" She's like, "I just looking at my ring. Sorry, not even joking. She was guilty." But then it's like you can look at the diamond from the top and look at the side, and there's many different sides. So this verse that we just read, you know, you studied it a little bit, you took like a couple minutes, but I'm telling you, there's a lot more there than you even imagine. A lot more, and you can blow right past it. And oh, I got something good. Me and God are good. Bam, I'm gone. But I'm telling you, if you relate to Him and you think about it daily, and let it become alive to you. You'll get to know more of God. You'll relate to Him. And you'll have a firmer grip. And I'm not going to do it because Sean probably can rip it out of my hand if I had my fingers on. I'm telling you, if I have a full grip on the Bible, and the great thing about meditation, you meditate on all four of those other things we talked about. You heard a good word, it's preached at church, you meditate, you think about it. Don't just let it blow by. And that's what we all do. Our natural tendency is not to even think about it, to slow down, it's about me. There's a great song out there by a great country artist. No, I hate the song, actually. It's about number one. You know, he sings that. No, it's not about me. It's about God and relating to Him because He wants to be known. And you get to know Him. It's a privilege. And He's waiting to be known. But sometimes we're like the guy, the husband, and number one and number two. Give Him lip service. We can come here and praise. God, I love God. What? I need to do Bible study for an hour? No. A lot of lip service. I just want you to know that's lip service right there. I love God, but I don't got time for it. It's lip service. And that might be strong, but it's true. And I struggle. I've done that before too, so I'm not saying I'm not like you. But I say this to encourage you that there's more out there and you can relate to God. Because you know what the truth is? Let me read this quote. I love it. It's by Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was an amazing missionary that went to reach these unreached people, and the first time the first time they actually got to interact with them like face to face and talk, they killed him. They speared him. He didn't do anything. Him and five other men, missionaries reaching these people. And so, just wanted to go reach this unreached nation in the middle of nowhere. But this is what he says. I think it's very relevant. He says, "You wonder why people choose fields away from the States when young people at home are drifting because no one wants to take the time to listen to their problems. I'll tell you why I left. Because these stateside young people have every opportunity to study, hear, and understand the Word of God in their own language, and these Indians have no opportunity whatsoever. I've had to make a cross of two logs and lie down on it to show the Indians what it means to crucify a man. When there's that much ignorance over here, and so much knowledge and opportunity over there, I have no question in my mind why God sent me here. Those whimpering, stateside young people will wake up one day on the day of judgment, condemned to worse fates than those demon-fearing Indians, because having a Bible, they were bored with it, while these Indians never heard of such a thing as writing." Now, we're believers in Christ. We don't have to worry about condemnation, thank God. But what? I mean, I've been bored with the Bible. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to read. There's people there's people in China that are leading thousands of Christ with the book of the Bible. That's all they have. They have the book of like Numbers, and they're leading people to Christ. I don't know how that works, but they've got nothing. But Christ is everything, and we're bored to death. And I've got like 7 copies of the Bible at home. And boxes of them to give out to people. And I'm like, I don't have time to spend. If some of these Chinese people had a Bible, they would weep. I've got 7 of them. And God's alive. But sometimes I'm too busy. In closing, I just want you to think of something you learned tonight? Have you, as we related to God through that verse? Did he tell you something you didn't know before? Something new I didn't know before, or I didn't hear that verse before. Maybe, you know, God, think, did he speak to you? Something did you get? And if he did, he just related to you. It's the spoken word of God. He's alive. He speaks to you daily. So if you got something, if you walked away, I didn't know, I hadn't heard that. He actually spoke to you. I don't know if you actually see that when you read the Bible, but he spoke to you. It wasn't me. It was the Bible. I just used it. Copyrighted, NIV, Jesus said it. He spoke to you. He wants to do it daily. So I hope you're challenged. And a verse I like to quote every time, probably after a talk, James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So I just want to challenge y'all not to just listen and think, oh, you know, I should probably... Talked about memorize and meditate. I've never done that before. I don't even know how to spend time with God daily. Well, we've got two action points. I got handouts right up here. If you want, you're like, hey, I struggle with my time daily with God. I just read and fall asleep. I've got a little sheet here that tells you how to spend daily time with God. Secondly, if you're like, I've never memorized Scripture, guess what? I've got a sheet over here that tells you how to memorize Scripture, and you can begin, and it will help you. And we would love to encourage you in that. So if you want any of that, we've got plenty of copies. Come up afterwards and pray for us real quick. Well, Father, I thank you that you are alive. Lord, you speak. You are here amongst us and moving in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that we serve a living God. And we do not serve a God that is dead like the rest of the religions that they can't even know because they're not even real. We serve a living God. And Lord, what a privilege the Creator of all the universe would say, I want to know you. I want you to know me. And can we relate on a daily basis? To give us joy. I mean, there's just good things, Lord, that you want to give us. And sometimes it's hard. And it's okay. Because you have your best interest. Our best interest in mind, Lord. So we just worship you. Thank you for our time. I pray, Lord, that your word would continue to speak, Lord. That it would be in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we'd have a firm grasp on the Word. And Lord, it challenges me. I need to grow in these things so much more. Lord, I thank you that we're not condemned if we, none of us are perfect here, so we can't expect to be perfect. But we want to grow and to be more like you just because it's a privilege, Lord. And good things come from knowing you more. So, Lord, I pray that for all of our hearts, Lord. Even at spring break, we might go home and want to be lazy. I pray that we wouldn't put the Bible away. I pray, Lord, that we'd open it up when it's hard and that you would speak. So we worship you and say that you're a good Lord. Amen.